You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. We'd love to hear from you. Any reaction from the Bulls' first preseason game, maybe looking ahead to Jabari Parker's return to Milwaukee. Anything in between, still have some lingering feelings about Lauri Markkanen's injury. We'd love to hear from you. Text in, drop us a voicemail, 331-979-1369. We do mailbag every single Wednesday, so that's where you'll be able to hear your voicemails. So get those in before tomorrow's show. Matt should be back. And with that, it's Jordan Malley sitting in here solo today. Matt is out again. Hopefully back tomorrow so we can do some mailbag and preview maybe the Bucks and the Bulls before tomorrow's matchup up in Milwaukee. But I'm sure, like a lot of other Chicago sports fans, there might be a couple other things on your mind today. The one being the Cubs losing their division game and heading into a one-game wild card. So I'm sure you guys are anticipating that. But thanks for hanging out with me for at least a half hour here. I got some great things to go through today. I've got a few notes just following up from the Bulls preseason game on Sunday that I want to touch on, a few things that I didn't get to on Monday's episode, as well as take a look at some of the comments Jabari Parker made about his return to Milwaukee and maybe some of the team, his former teammates, and what they had to say about returning there. And also Denzel Valentine went on record and talking about, you know, the Jabari Parker signing in the offseason and whether or not he felt like he should be starting or not. So we got some quotes from there. I'd like to talk about that for a minute. Want to talk about lineups as we get closer. Only got four games until the regular season starts. Wanted to talk a little bit about lineups and minutes as well, and who might be getting the minutes and what that minute restriction might look on some of those guys, and to start the season at least, where guys and how much time you can at least implement to these guys in each of their positions. So we'll talk about that, break that down a little bit. And I've got a few different lineup options too that I think Fred Hoiberg will go with at the beginning of the season. So we'll talk about that. And then I want to run through the first 20 games or so with the Bulls season starting in just less than a month here, a couple weeks till the first tip-off game. But I want to talk about the first 20 games in particular because of Lauri Markkanen. He's going to be out probably 6 to 8 weeks. So that's going to put you at about the 17 and 19 game marker. So let's see what the Bulls schedule looks like, what it's going to look like without Lauri Markkanen. But let's backtrack first. A couple of those notes that I was talking about from Sunday's game, obviously was a fun game to watch. First time we got to see Jabari Parker play on the floor. Same thing with Wendell Carter Jr. and Chandler Hutchison. But I wanted to follow up on Cameron Payne really quick because a note that was brought up by one of our listeners on Twitter. I was just going back and forth about Cameron Payne a little bit, talking about the assist rate that he had and what he needs to do this season to be successful for the Bulls. And sure, a lot of Bulls fans out there are rolling their eyes, kind of laughing this off, but I want to take a serious look because I think this is the first time we've actually seen Cameron Payne healthy. And even at the back end of the last 6 weeks or so of the season last year, we actually saw full healthy Cameron Payne, and he was actually somewhat productive. So the two things that I said on Twitter about Cameron Payne this season should be his ball distribution, one, getting the guys in that second unit as many shots as possible. And look, Bobby Portis isn't going to be able to be afraid to shoot shots this year, and neither is Denzel Valentine. As you can see in the first preseason game, Bobby Portis going up for 19 attempts, but that should be his one focus. And I think that's one of his strengths of his game, is being able to distribute the ball. Now, when he's not turning the ball over, I think he can be a really effective guard to get those guys in the spots they need to be in order to hit those shots. Denzel Valentine, Bobby Portis, and Chandler Hutchison has shown flashes here and there that he can shoot as well. So I think that's going to be an important part. And on top of that, I think I said it before, Cameron Payne being consistent from the three-point line. In the month of March and April last season, when we saw the bulk of the minutes going to Cameron Payne in the second unit, it was about 21 games that were played. He shot 44% from the three-point line on nearly four attempts per game. He had 3.7 attempts in those 21 games. If he can distribute and hit timely threes at a clip over 40%, that's pretty good for your second backup, for your backup point guard to Chris Dunn. So those two things just want to hit on really quickly, and we'll continue to monitor those throughout preseason. But I think if Cameron Payne can learn to distribute the ball, have those assists be at a high rate like he's had in the preseason and even in last season, and then hit the three-pointer at a timely and high clip, be somewhat productive this season. So I think this is the first time we're actually going to see him healthy. Speaking of three-pointers, though, the Bulls, one thing that I did not note in Monday's episode was the Bulls' three-point shooting in the first preseason game. I was actually alarmed, quite surprised that the Bulls put up 128 points with only shooting attempting only 18 threes and only making four of those. So the Bulls shot 22.2% from the three-point line and still managed to put up 128 points. 72 points of those points on Sunday night came from the paint. So you're seeing guys be able to get to the basket, I think, more often, more frequently. You got Jabari Parker, you've got Zach LaVine getting to the basket, Chris Dunn, same thing, Wendell Carter Jr. and Bobby Portis all putting up double-digit point numbers. I think you're going to see an explosion from the paint too, but I'd like to see some of these guys taking more three-pointers at a higher clip. Like Zach LaVine only took two three-pointers the entire preseason. That's fine if he's getting to the rack, but I think you're going to see those at a higher clip, and maybe same thing with Jabari Parker, who actually took the most out of the starting unit on Sunday. But the Bulls attempted 31.1 three-pointers per game last season with a roster that was constructed to rebuild, and that was sixth in the NBA. So I would imagine what Fred Hoiberg wants to do, and at least initially with Lauri Markkanen being in the picture, him not at least for these first 20 games, is still be somewhere around that range. And Jabari Parker and Zach LaVine and even Chris Dunn at times, those guys are going to have to pick up the slack as far as a three-point threat goes. So, but I was surprised by that 18 attempts only from the three-point line, and they still managed to put up 128 points. That's crazy. The Bulls also shot 43.5%. That was the worst in the NBA last season. The Bulls shot total, their field goal percentage was 49.5% on Sunday. So that was really nice to see that even with only 12 guys playing, and the 12 guys that I think you're going to see on this roster actually get a legitimate run in the rotation, at least early on in the season, them shooting in almost 50% was nice to see. So the Bulls averaged 102.9 points last season. That was third lowest in the NBA. The Bulls, 128 points. Hey, we said it before, and we'll say it a million times this season. They may give up 120 points a night, but if they can put up 130, close to 130 points a night, they'll be in every single game. It'll be a breakdown of how good that defense is and the effort on that side of the ball, too. So 128 points from an average that they had last year. I mean, can you remember back to last year when we were talking about quarters that the Bulls were having and they were scoring single-digit points? I can't tell you. I think I counted four, five, six times where the Bulls only scored single digits in a quarter. So adding guys like Jabari Parker and a fully healthy Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn in his development for a second year, on top of guys too coming off the bench, Bobby Portis shooting at a high clip, Denzel Valentine hopefully coming back healthy before the season starts, Antonio Blakeney, if he can give you any type of spark in the limited minutes I think he's going to see early on, any type of spark offensively, you've caught a ton of shooters, the thing that the Bulls did not necessarily have last year. Obviously, Lauri Markkanen not being there for the first 20 games is going to be a little bit of a hit, but still, I think this team has got a ridiculous offensive power, especially if they're going to be hitting on night in and night out. And there's going to be nights where we see all these guys can't knock down a bucket and it might look bad, but I think for the majority of this season, we're going to see a high-powered offense, and that's what's going to be exciting about this team. So finally, to kind of wrap up these miscellaneous notes from Sunday in the last couple of days, was it just me, or were you surprised by the fact that Fred Hoiberg only used 12 guys in the first game? So the Bulls have a handful of other guys that were invited to training camp, obviously invited to preseason, just to get a look. And obviously the Bulls have a final roster spot open, and that was kind of what we talked about late last week, talking about the guys that are open for that roster spot: Antonius Cleveland, Derek Walton Jr., Ryan Arcidiakno, Jakarr Sampson, and Kaiser Gates. But none of those guys got run except for Ryan Arcidiakno. And I said it on that episode last week that we did. I think it's his position to lose. I think the Bulls see enough to where they can, they've already thrown partial guaranteed money at him. I think that roster spot probably is his to lose, especially with you don't have necessarily a third point guard in your reserve. Like, you can use Antonio Blakeney in a pinch, and Zach LaVine can kind of take over that duty, but I was surprised, and this I think speaks more to the volume of what Fred Hoiberg sees too, is he's got a lot of guys on this roster that he has unknowns, and he wants them to gel. And with only five preseason games instead of eight, it cuts the time frame of getting these guys ready for opening night. So guys like Dunn and LaVine and Parker and Carter and Hutchison and Blakeney have never played together, and they've got to continue to sort of gel before the season starts. So I think that's why we saw only 12 guys play. But I was a little bit surprised, because you look at the other side of the roster, you look at the Pelicans roster, they threw out guys off their bench that they were just trying to get looks at, guys ranging anywhere from 4 to about 12, 13, 14, 15 minutes. Like, the Pelicans used 15 guys in that game on Sunday, whereas the Bulls only used 12, and I think the Pelicans obviously looking to fill the back end of the roster, see what they need as well. But the Bulls having that final roster spot open, and Ryan Arcidiakno being the only guy that doesn't have a fully guaranteed contract coming in looking to make that final roster spot, I was just surprised, and maybe that speaks to the volume of what these guys can do at practice, and nobody's really stood out and given themselves a chance or an opportunity to be in one of these preseason games. But I think that's what I'm going to look for in Milwaukee coming in on Wednesday night, is to see if any of these guys get an actual chance, depending on if this is a blowout game or not. But like I said before, I think Fred Hoiberg wants to get his guys that are going to be in there night in and night out a chance to play together and gel a little bit before the games actually start to count. But I was a little bit curious, with an open roster spot, that you have this many guys at the end of your bench and none of them even got to see the back end of the game. And maybe that was partially because Fred Hoiberg wanted some of these younger guys to be in there to learn how to close out games, and what it's like for guys like Wendell Carter Jr. to be in the game, and guys for the first time like Cameron Payne and a few other these other guys that might be in more important roles than maybe your 14th or 15th man on the roster. So those will be a couple interesting things to watch for on Wednesday night and as we continue through the preseason. Got to take a short break here on Locked On Bulls, but when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about Jabari Parker returning back to Milwaukee for the first time, some comments from Denzel Valentine in the position battle for him and Jabari Parker as well, and him being out with a rolled ankle in practice Tuesday, talking about that, also minutes and breaking down the minutes and the lineups that maybe the Bulls will look to use without Markkanen for the first 20 games or so. And then looking ahead to the schedule without Markkanen for the first 20 games, how hard it's going to be for the Bulls to stay 500 and what their schedule looks like. So all of that and so much more. Stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds. Back here on Locked On Bulls, you can hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Got some voicemails to get into tomorrow's episode, but we want you to drop as many voicemails, as many text messages. If you're sitting there thinking you've got a thought on anything that we've talked about in the last week and a half, anything you saw from preseason, or you just want to kind of talk out the Lauri Markkanen injury and what you feel like going into the season, what this roster is going to look like, we'd love to hear from you. 331-979-1369. Okay, so Jabari Parker, obviously this is a big story, not only here in Chicago for him coming in here, but it's a big story for Milwaukee. I mean, Milwaukee invested 4 years of their time and effort into Jabari Parker. And while nobody really saw Giannis's explosion after Jabari Parker's multiple injuries really come to fruition, but that's kind of what happened. Parker thought this was going to be his team for the future, the Bucks, talking about the Bucks here, and then Giannis exploded the way he did. Nobody really saw that coming at the time, but I think that's what's ultimately end, that Milwaukee was going in a different direction, and Jabari Parker saw that, and he kind of mentioned that as well. Malika Andrews, who's new to ESPN, one of the friends of our show here, she worked formerly for the Chicago Tribune. She had a great article on Parker going back there for the first time, and just a couple quotes. Here's one from Parker. He said, "I had some great memories, some great experiences, met some great people, but I was pretty bitter about how it ended. But most importantly, I had a sweeter time there, helped forget about all the bad memories with them." So I took that as, you know, he loved the time that he was there. He realized that he wished things would have went a little bit differently. We talk an extension about how Jason Kidd maybe villainized Jabari Parker at times, not letting him shoot threes when he was, that was kind of what he was going to do. Like, a guy at Jabari Parker's size and his athleticism and his ability to shoot and score the ball, like, he showed in college, even in the first couple of those years, that he could knock down the three, and all of a sudden Jason Kidd's telling him, no, we don't want you shooting any threes. Then obviously the second ACL tear happened. He came back for the playoffs and looked really good in the playoffs, and I think that's what ultimately earned his $20 million contract, at least for this season. That spiked his value. You know, the last 30 games that he played in for the Milwaukee Bucks, plus the first round playoff series that he was in, that helped spike Jabari Parker's value. But I would assume that if you got Jabari Parker off the record, he would say, yeah, hell yeah, I would want to stay at the place that I was drafted to go to, number two overall, and be basically the face of the franchise. I wish things could have worked out better. And imagine if Parker and Giannis both could have found a way to coexist there. You know, Giannis had a couple comments too at practice today talking about Parker's return and ultimately his decision to leave the team. And he said, you know, he was happy for him. And Giannis's quote is that he got the bag, so which he did, $20 million for one season for a guy that's coming off an ACL injury. I would definitely have to agree with Giannis. I think this is good for both sides, though. I was reading through just some comments from Milwaukee Bucks fans, just from the quotes that beat reporters up in Milwaukee were putting out there. It seems like a lot of people were split on him leaving. Either it was because he didn't play defense, taking shots at him that he wanted to be the face of the team when it wasn't turning out that way anymore. It seems like Milwaukee Bucks fans were a little bit sick and tired of Jabari Parker, and I don't think all of that criticism from them is unfair, but I look at it at a time where there's a power struggle between two guys, and you can kind of relate here in Chicago with Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose at their end of the time, and how people like wanted to pick sides on both of that, so you can see how they did that up there, especially with Giannis's resurgence and ascendance to the superstar that he is now. So it kind of left Jabari Parker in the shadow, and, you know, obviously not being happy with the playing time that he was getting up there in the run, feeling like he should be a starter. I think all of that combined just added for bad chemistry, and ultimately was going to be a bad decision if he returned there. So it's good. It's good for Jabari Parker in the sense that he gets a fresh start here in Chicago, and where else to do that other than his hometown, where a lot of people love him here. And I'm hoping for the best with Jabari Parker. And I know he got off to a slow offensive start in the first preseason game, but it's going to be exciting, at least to say the very least, about his game and his potential here. And I think it's now at least a relief short term. He's going to be playing his more natural position at the four than squeezing him in at the three, but we'll see what Fred Hoiberg does there. One thing on top of that, just talking about Parker in general, Denzel Valentine had spoke with Casey Johnson of the Chicago Tribune earlier today. And, you know, at the end of the season, Denzel Valentine had a really good season last year. Feels like he felt like, in his opinion, that he should be a starter coming into this season. Obviously didn't foresee the fact that the Bulls were going to go out and sign Jabari Parker to play that and fill that role. I think Denzel Valentine is probably behind closed curtains, behind, you know, off the record, probably not too happy, considering he wanted to fill that role, and justified so. Like, his scoring ability in the second half, his ability to distribute, all signs pointed to maybe another handful of these other teams that he could start on. And I don't necessarily think Denzel Valentine can be a long-term solution and a long-term starter for this Bulls team necessarily, but it's going to bring for good competition, and that's exactly what Denzel Valentine said. Here's the quote that I think grabbed me the most. Everything is up for competition, but I was really excited when they signed Jabari. He said, actually, I know him a little bit. We recruited him at Michigan State. He's going to be a great player for us, so I mean, as many good players as you can have to help the team win is always good. I don't see it as bad for me or whatever. So to me, I think Denzel Valentine knows he's got a clear-cut role, whether it is starting or not on this team. We talked about he might be the odd man out if they're trying to figure out where to play at the two or the three, but for right now, at least Denzel Valentine's going to get another extended opportunity to prove his worth. And you know, you could build off that season that he had last year. I think there's no doubt that he's going to have at least a legitimate role in the second unit. So will be fun to see Valentine and also see Parker together battling it out once Denzel Valentine recovers from this ankle injury. And I know they said he rolled it and there was no definite timetable for his return, but they're talking about somewhere between 1 and 2 weeks to reevaluate and see. So I'm hoping, all fingers crossed, that it heals pretty quickly and that Denzel Valentine can be back on the court before we tip off on October 18th. It's crazy. Just a few weeks away from opening night, and the Bulls will be on the road at the 76ers on TNT for their one and only national broadcast. And maybe that'll change if the Bulls exceed expectations this year and start going on a roll. Maybe those national games will get flexed, and maybe the Bulls will get a few more nationally televised games. But for right now, the focus is, you know, tomorrow night's going to be special. I wonder if, I wonder what the reviews are going to be of Parker returning to Milwaukee. And obviously, I don't know if the stadium's going to be full, especially with the Brewers being, you know, I know the Brewers aren't playing, but the ramping up for the division series. Are people interested in the Milwaukee Bucks and the NBA up in Milwaukee right now? Like, let's be honest, here in Chicago, the Bears are playing really well. The Cubs are in the midst of a playoff run. Outside of us diehard fans and you and me, the ones that I'm talking to right now, like, people aren't really that ramped up for Bulls basketball. And even with a great team up in Milwaukee, sizing up for a really great season in Milwaukee, I wonder how much people are turning to that, especially with the Packers playing too. So, but I think it's going to be fun for NBA fans and for us in general to just see what the feedback is on Parker returning to Milwaukee for the first time. And if anything, check out the broadcast tomorrow just to be able to see Milwaukee Stadium for the first time. And that stadium, I mean, it's only about a 90-minute drive if you live in the city. I would highly suggest trying to get up there for a game this year and maybe coincide it with the Bulls game, Bulls playing up there. And if you have a chance, maybe go up there tomorrow night if you're not doing anything. I would assume tickets are pretty cheap, and you could always use Vivid Seats, $20 off $200 or more. VividSeats.com, download the app and use Locked On, and you can get your tickets there. If you're looking to do something tomorrow night, head up to Milwaukee and watch the Bulls' second preseason game and Jabari Parker return home to Milwaukee. Got to take another short break here on Locked On Bulls, but when we come back, going to break down some lineups without Markkanen, what the Bulls' minutes might look like for each individual player, kind of break that down a little bit, and also look ahead to the first 20 games in the Bulls' season without Markkanen, how good it's going to be, and if the Bulls might struggle looking ahead to their schedule. It's going to be a tough first 20 games, so we'll get into that and more. Stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds. Back here on Locked On Bulls, you can always hit us up, 331-979-1369. Text messages and voicemails there. Doing mailbag tomorrow, so we'd love to hear from you, 331-979-1369. All right, let's get into some of these lineups in minutes, because obviously, kind of piggybacking off the conversation from before, Fred Hoiberg only using 12 guys gets you the sense that, okay, basically he wants to see what their lineups are going to be, what's the best mix, and who's ultimately going to get the minutes and who's going to fill in for those minutes for Markkanen. So I kind of gauged it out, which what I thought maybe makes the most sense for the Bulls the first 20 games without Markkanen. Obviously, those minutes are going to change a little bit. Once Markkanen returns, obviously going to the starting position, moving Jabari Parker from the 4 to the 3. you'll see a little bit of a different lineup, but here's what I came up with. So obviously 48 minutes in a basketball game times five positions, you got 240 total minutes for an NBA roster, and I'm assuming that the Bulls are going to go with a 10-man lineup at least to start. That would be the ideal situation. You know, Fred Hoiberg did this a lot last year where he had guys in and out of the rotation playing guys, some guys at 11, 12, 13 different guys at one point, night in and night out. So I think going with a traditional 10-man roster and maybe having one or two other guys play like less than 5 minutes just to get them in and out, maybe at the back end of some quarters, especially early on, you might see that. But let's run through this really quick. So Chris Dunn, first of all, your starting lineup, at least I think what it's going to look like the beginning, depending on, this is I think all going to depend on Denzel Valentine's injury status and what he looks like if he can return. But right now, see, Denzel Valentine's still kind of nursing an injury, what have you. So the starting lineup, I think that's going to go in, and this could change as well at the center position, but it's going to be Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, Justin Holiday, Jabari Parker, and Robin Lopez. Now, just let's not freak out for a second either, because I think the argument here is what guys should start, but I think the more important is what guys finish the game. What guys are getting starter minutes, but not necessarily quote-unquote starting. That one is a big point, and also who's closing out your games. Obviously, the two guys that I mentioned, I don't think Justin Holiday or Robin Lopez will be closing out games. Maybe Justin Holiday, if they need kind of a longer guard slash wing instead of having Denzel Valentine out there, maybe have Justin Holiday close out games. But I would assume if it's Fred Hoiberg looking for some more offense, you probably have Denzel Valentine in there to close out. So I've got Chris Dunn playing 33 minutes. I've got Zach LaVine playing 32 minutes a night. I've got Justin Holiday playing 18 minutes a night and starting. Jabari Parker playing 30 minutes a night and Robin Lopez playing 18 minutes a night. So that leaves your five starters there. Obviously, the three main guys getting 30 plus minutes are Jabari Parker, Zach LaVine, and Chris Dunn. Going to the second unit, I think your sixth man, Bobby Portis, is going to have 25 minutes a night at least, and maybe that will increase and go uptick depending on whether or not they're actually going to take a look at Cristiano Felicio, which I know I hate to say that, and I know Bulls fans are probably cringing at the idea, but just seeing him getting at least a run in preseason, he might get a look early on, especially if they need help, if guys either tweak something or they're depleted in the front court, they might need to throw him in there for a few minutes. So just keep that in mind. So Bobby Portis, I've got him down for 25 minutes. I've also got Wendell Carter Jr. down for 25 minutes. Him taking over that role with Robin Lopez, I think Wendell Carter Jr. could uptick too as well, but I think Fred Hoiberg is going to want to play it safe for at least a little bit, and those guys can be interchangeable. We don't know for sure if Robin Lopez is actually going to be the starter, but if I had to bet real money, if I had to bet my own pocket money, I'd probably say Robin Lopez is going to be the starter for right now. But look, he's only getting 18. I've only got him getting 18 minutes a night, and Wendell Carter Jr. filling in the rest. And obviously, Bobby Portis can play a little bit of the 5-2, so that might give you an uptick in minutes as well. I've got Denzel Valentine playing 20 minutes a night. It's a little bit of a decrease from what he was playing last year. You might see an uptick there, depending on how much they use Justin Holiday and whether or not he's hot or not. So you could see Justin Holiday's minutes coming down from 18 to maybe 13 to 15, somewhere around that area. But for right now, I think just nursing the injury going into the beginning of the season, you'll maybe see Denzel Valentine around 20 minutes a night. Cameron Payne, I've got him at 15 minutes. I think Chris Dunn's going to play the bulk of the minutes at the point guard position. And even when Chris Dunn's out, if Cameron Payne is cold, if he's not playing well, you can see Zach LaVine maybe switch over and run the point at least for a little bit in some stretches. Bring Antonio Blakeney or Denzel Valentine off the bench to fill that two role. Then I've got Chandler Hutchison at 15 minutes a night. I'm pretty curious to see, especially with the lack of wing depth that the Bulls have right now. He's probably going to get more than that, but I think at the conservative side, saying 15 minutes a night might be a pretty decent run for Chandler Hutchison and only build off of that. And then I've got 9 minutes left, and the guys at the back end of the roster, obviously you've got Omer Sheik and Lauri Markkanen out for the first 20 games, and Omer Sheik's not going to step foot on the floor. So that's two guys on your roster. And then you got Antonio Blakeney, Cristiano Felicio, and then your final roster spot, which I think is going to go to Ryan Arcidiacono in those final three spots. I've got Antonio Blakeney playing 5 minutes a night, and the way he was shooting in preseason, if he continues to do that and continues to press in practice, those minutes might go up. But for argument's sake right now, let's just say Antonio Blakeney sees himself for 5 minutes a night. Cristiano Felicio, I've got him at 4 minutes a night, and maybe that's even aggressive too. So I put a scenario in there where I have Bobby Portis, Denzel Valentine, Cameron Payne, and Chandler Hutchison all getting an uptick in minutes for not playing Cristiano Felicio or Antonio Blakeney, but you might see those guys early on. So ultimately what I'm saying here is you've got basically Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, Jabari Parker, Bobby Portis, Wendell Carter Jr. playing starter minutes. And you've got Justin Holiday and Robin Lopez filling in as kind of that secondary unit, filling in some gaps here and there. But your second unit, I think, ultimately to start is going to be Campaign at the point guard position, Denzel Valentine at the two, Chandler Hutchison at the three, Bobby Portis at the four, and then either Wendell Carter Jr. or Robin Lopez at the five. I think that's what Fred Hoiberg wants to find out at the beginning of this season, is find a rotation that works and stick to that. There was too many in and out. Guys were inconsistent in the lineups last year, and I think that's one of the biggest knocks on Fred Hoiberg, is that he doesn't stick and commit to a lineup. He kind of goes in and out with a bunch of guys or plays more than 10 guys in a game, and nobody gets actual serious rhythm. So to me, till Lauri Markkanen comes back, I think this is all going to be by committee too, and got who's playing the hot hand. And I think Fred Hoiberg is going to have to be a little bit creative as far as front court goes. And without lack of wing depth, and especially if Denzel Valentine misses any sort of time, you're going to see Justin Holiday probably in there, as much as some Bulls fans might not want to see him. You're going to see Chandler Hutchison have to step up early with the lack of wing depth that they have there too. So there might be some creative lineups, to be honest with you. And so that's what I'm looking at for lineups. And you guys can chime in at 331-979-1369. All right, final topic before we get out of here. Just wanted to touch on this really quick and maybe get Matt's opinion when he comes back tomorrow. So the first 20 games without Markkanen, if I would be lying to you if I said the Bulls' schedule is easy coming into the beginning of the season, because it's not. So 11 of the first 20 games the Bulls play are against opponents that were in the playoffs in 2017 and 2018. They also, on top of that, have to play the Denver Nuggets once at 46 wins and the Detroit Pistons at 39 wins. They have to play them twice. Both of those teams relatively good last season. This could be difficult matchups for the Bulls at the beginning. First four of the six games are on the road as well. So we get a little bit of a test from the Bulls early on to see how they're adjusting to their road schedule. And first four of six on the road, especially opening night on against the 76ers, like to see them come out with a win there. But ultimately, not being at home for the first stretch of your season might be a little bit of concern. Not too big, but still, playing four of the first six games on the road, they're going to be tested early. So then you've got the Hornets twice, you got the Mavericks twice. I think both of those games are coin toss. Probably go 500 against each one of those teams. So you got two wins right there, two losses. And then you've got the Suns, the Knicks, and the Hawks. The Suns, yeah, they're saying that they want to be competitive this year, but I think the Bulls, especially playing them early on this season, give them a chance to give them a run, and I think the Bulls ultimately be able to pull that game off. The Knicks, I think they're kind of a toss-up too. The Knicks are going to be interesting, but I think the Bulls can pull off a win against them. And then the Hawks, who are projected to be the worst team in the league this year, I think we can solidify ourselves with a win against the Hawks there. Looking at a possible return for Markkanen 8 weeks down the road, that puts us at around Thanksgiving. I would say more specifically with knowing the injury on last Friday. Knowing that, I think this puts us around Black Friday, November 23rd. The Bulls play the Timberwolves in Minnesota on the 24th. That would be a hell of a game for Markkanen to come back after. You know, Markkanen trolled the Timberwolves a little bit on social media, on Instagram. Could you imagine Markkanen coming back for his first game of the 2018-2019 season in Minnesota? That would be pretty fun. That would be a pretty fun game to see, and especially too because it would be Chris Dunn, it'd be Zach LaVine going back there and also going up against what I would imagine would be like a cross version of the Timber Bulls, but I would expect Jimmy Butler to be gone by that time. But it would be a pretty cool matchup, setting up for a pretty good event Saturday night, November 24th. That's as late as possible because they said 6 to 8 weeks. So this injury could progress. He could be healthier sooner than rather than later, but I think they're going to nurse it and make sure that Lauri Markkanen is 100% healthy before he returns to action on the floor. So 8 weeks from when we heard about the injury puts us at a time frame right around after Thanksgiving, around Black Friday, November 23rd, 24th. As long as there's no setbacks, and even looking at the extended 6 to 8 week mark, looking at the latter, we're looking at about the back end of November. So this like kind of reminds me of when we were talking about Chris Dunn, when Chris Dunn got the injury at the beginning of training camp and had to make a timetable of a return somewhere around Thanksgiving, maybe a little bit sooner. So yeah, 19, 20 games into the season, the Bulls have a tough schedule. So we're going to need a lot from Zach LaVine. We're going to need a lot from Chris Dunn, a lot from Jabari Parker early on to kind of make up for that lack of offensive production that you're going to have from Markkanen at the four. Well, that's going to about do it here. Thanks for hanging out with me on this Tuesday. If you're a Cubs fan, I know you're probably anxiously awaiting the outcome of this wild card game coming up. But thanks for hanging out with me, listening to some Bulls talk for about a half hour here. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. You can hit us up on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines 331-979-1369. Get all of your voicemails in and your text messages, your questions. We'll do a full-on mailbag for Wednesday's show, as well as a preview of the Milwaukee Bucks Bulls preseason game tomorrow night up in Milwaukee. So hit us up. We want to hear your thoughts, lingering Lauri Markkanen thoughts, thoughts about the first preseason game, or what this lineup's going to actually look like coming into opening night on the 18th. 331-979-1369. For Jordan Malley, I am signing off. Bulls fans, thanks for hanging out again. Have a wonderful day. And if you're a Cubs fan like Matt is, if they lose tonight, then we might be getting a pretty depressed Matt Peck for tomorrow's episode, but that's all right. So for Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation, I'm signing off. Thanks again for listening. For Jordan Malley, for Matt Peck, who'll be back tomorrow, we say thanks. Have a great night. We are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com